Once upon a time, there was a man who had a problem. His problem was that from a very early age, his son had a medical condition that nobody seemed to be able to fix. Now, at this time, they weren't really sure what to do with it. They weren't sure if it was caused by some kind of disease or if it was caused by some kind of spirit. But this kid had this condition all his life, where periodically he would fall down, he would grit his teeth, and he would foam at his mouth. He had no ability to speak. And to make it even worse, oftentimes when he would fall into some kind of dangerous situation. He'd fall into the fire, or he'd fall into the water, and the dad felt like this condition, whatever this is trying to kill my son. Now, we don't know what all this father did to try to fix this problem, but presumably he did everything, as any father would do, to try to help his son. He tried everything that he could to help his son get healing, and nothing ever seemed to work. And then one day, this itinerant healer came to his village. Now, this healer did other things also, but what mattered to this father is that he had the ability to heal people. Now, before the healer showed up, some of his followers showed up. And the dad took the son to the followers and said, can you help me? They also had the ability to heal, but they weren't able to. They weren't able to heal this kid of his condition. Well, then finally, the healer, Jesus of Nazareth, showed up himself, and the dad rushed over, took his son, and said, Jesus, I need you to cast this spirit out of him to heal my son. I've tried everything. I can't fix this problem myself. Will you fix this problem for me? Now, there's more to the conversation, but we're just going to kind of cut to the chase. Jesus cast this spirit out, heals this kid, and everybody's amazed. And not only is the dad amazed, obviously the kid is amazed. Not only are the villagers that are around amazed, but Jesus' disciples themselves are amazed. And that night, when they go into a home and it's just the 13 of them, they look at Jesus and they ask him, why were we not able to do that? How is it that you could do that, but we're not able to do that? And Jesus' response, 8 words, those are our red letters for this morning. So this summer we've been in a series, we've been looking at some of the red letters in the Bible. The red letters in some version of the Bible are the words of Jesus. And we're looking not just at the surface level of these letters, but we're seeking to dig underneath them just a little bit to see what it is that Jesus might be saying at an even deeper level. And these 8 words that we're going to look at today, they speak not just to what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but they speak to how it is that we today can navigate our problems. So I put out on social media yesterday, some of you would have seen this, that I was inviting you this week to bring your problems to church with you. Now, some of you did that metaphorically. Some of you have come in thinking about what your problem is. Some of you have done that literally. You're like, my spouse is right here. This is my problem, right? These are my kids. Here they are, right? Whatever your problem is, all I want to invite you to do this morning is to bring your problem into this conversation. And I can't promise you that we're going to fix your problem this morning. In fact, I can promise you that we're probably not. But I can promise you that these 8 words that Jesus speaks, these 8 red letters, they can help. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about this fish tank. What is it? We have this up here. That's going to help us to understand 2 different worldviews. We're going to talk about some worldviews. We're then going to talk about these 8 words, and then we're going to talk about your problem. So let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we get to spend together. And now as we turn to the scripture, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. Thank you for the time of singing. And Lord, as Carl acknowledged, some of us have had a really tough week. Our community has in a lot of ways. And God, we know that you're faithful and that you're with us. And God, we pray that we'll get that sense this morning. And God, we pray that as we spend some time looking at these words that Jesus spoke so long ago, that they'll speak truth into our lives even today. So God, won't you take the words that I prepared and bring them to life? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as PT said earlier, we're really grateful that you're here this morning, no matter how it is that you got here. Some of you are here, and we say this pretty frequently, some of you are here and church feels good to you, it feels comfortable being here, and some of you are here and maybe this is your first time or it's your first time in a while and it feels a little bit uncomfortable. Just want to acknowledge that. Some of you are here and life is going great, and some of you are here and life is not going well. Some of you have your life built around the Christian faith, you're already kind of in the whole church thing. Some of you are asking questions about it, and some of you may even be openly antagonistic to it and pretty sure that you're going to disagree with everything that I say this morning. And here's all that I want to say right off the bat. No matter where you are on any of those spectrums or any others, this is the church. And in the church, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're welcomed here. And those of us who call this our church home, we're really glad that no matter how you got here, that you're here this morning. So when I was a sophomore in college, right before I was going to become a sophomore in college, my roommate for my sophomore year gave me a call. And he said, Matt, we had not lived together the previous year. We were living together for the first time this year. He said, Matt, I've got some great news. I said, well, that's good. I said, what is it? I've got some good news, and then I've got some really great news. He said, I bought something for our dorm room. Now, when you picture my dorm room, don't picture like what you see on the recruiting websites today, right? Like, this was not my dorm room. I mean, I had an old school dorm room, you know, that's like 200 square feet. I mean, it's like really small. We got a bunk bed. We got a couple desks. We got a TV stand, and then we brought our own couch. That's pretty much it. Old school dorm room. Pearl Jam posters on the wall and road signs that we acquired in varying degrees of legality on the wall also, right? Old school dorm room. So he calls me, I got something for the dorm. Okay, what is it? What's the good news? Well, here's the good news, Matt. I got a fish tank for our dorm room. I don't know. This does not sound like good news. Now, I wasn't surprised. He had a fish tank his previous year, which second semester had broken. Our friend Elliot Pagano broke it when I pushed him into it. So I wasn't too surprised that he was getting a fish tank. But the second news was surprising. He said, here's the even better news. I got a 46-gallon fish tank. Now, look. Somebody... This is like a gallon or a gallon and a half, okay? It's like 46 of these, okay? This is a huge, it takes up roughly a quarter of our dorm room. I could have stood in this, I never did. I could have stood in this thing. It's a huge fish tank. Now, the only good thing about having a huge fish tank is that you can have huge fish. Huge fish, in fact, that eat, they eat goldfish like this, right? So we'd feed it live goldfish. I spent a lot of time, sophomore year, just staring at that fish tank. Now, pondering like what it would be like to live in the fish tank. Now, some of my other friends spent a whole lot more time just like sitting and pondering the fish tank. And what I want to invite you to do today is to ponder with me for just a moment what it would be like to live in a fish tank. Imagine if all you knew was the inside of the fish tank. All you could see, all you could smell, all you could taste, all you could feel, all you could hear is what's happening inside of the tank. Now, every now and then, there would be this sense that maybe there was something outside of the tank. Like you'd get a glimpse of something like through the glass. Or every now and then, like when your buddy would go belly up, there'd be like this net thing that would come in. And like there's a waterfall at the top and that had some like water that, you know, seemed to be pretty clean and like there's something going on up there. But like by and large, all you know is what's happening inside of the fish tank. There would be, broadly speaking, two things that you could believe. You could believe that the whole world, everything that existed, existed within the walls of the fish tank. There's nothing beyond the walls. Or you could believe, I don't fully get it. I don't really understand like what's happening out there and I don't get the net thing and like the waterfall filter. I don't get all of that. But I think that there might be something outside of the fish tank. There might be something beyond the walls. Broadly speaking, huge broad strokes here. There are two worldviews through which you can see the world. Two approaches to how you can view the way the world works. One I'm going to refer to as kind of a closed mentality, and the other is an open mentality. So here's the closed mentality. The closed mentality is the idea that there's nothing beyond the walls. There's just what we can see and taste and feel and sense with our senses, and that's it. To take this a step further, this would say that everything within the world is made up of physics and chemistry and biology. And that's all that you really need in order to understand the world. Again, broadly speaking, this is one way to view the world. Here are some examples of kind of a closed mentality. Materialism is one of these. And by this, I don't mean that you love material things. I don't mean like being materialistic. But materialism is a philosophical argument that says that all that there is material, which again means that everything can be understood through the hard sciences, through biology and chemistry and physics. Certainly, materialism is going to leave no room for any kind of a religious or spiritual experience. It's going to say that any kind of religious phenomenon, any kind of vision that people experience, any kind of emotion that comes around a religious experience is about the matter in our brains that's eliciting different kinds of chemical responses that make us feel a certain way, even to the degree that we could have kind of hallucinations. Not only is materialism going to leave no room for religion, but materialism taken to its extreme won't even leave room for emotion, but instead will say that all that emotion is again the same thing. All that emotion is the way that our chemicals in our brain are affecting the rest of our body. Taken to an even further degree that we can't really dig into today, some people who buy into materialism will say that there's not even such a thing as free will. They will say that we actually have no agency or choice in our lives, that everything is simply determined by the way that the chemicals in our brains work. So I am not choosing to stand up here. I'm not choosing to move my hands in this way. You're not choosing to look at your neighbor. You're not choosing to think about your grocery list for this afternoon. All of that is just predetermined by the way that your brain is wired. Another way, an example of a closed mentality would be scientism. Now, don't get this confused with a scientific mentality. At that college that I talked about, I was a biology major and a religion major. It doesn't seem to me like science and religion are opposed at all. Science and religion are not opposed, but scientism and religion are definitely opposed. What scientism is the belief that the only thing worth knowing has to be able to be proven by the scientific method. That the only knowledge that truly can be knowledge is knowledge that can be empirically proven, which leaves, again, no room for any kind of knowledge or understanding outside of the hard sciences. Now, just to poke at scientism for just a second, and then I promise that I'll move on. Notice this. Scientism is itself not a scientific argument. What is it? It's a philosophical argument. You can't prove that the only knowledge worth acquiring is knowledge that you can acquire empirically. It's a philosophical move. Broadly speaking, a closed mentality, which encompasses lots of these kinds of examples, is a mentality that is growing and growing in our culture. What it wants to suggest is that there's nothing beyond the walls of the fish tank. There's nothing beyond the walls of our physical existence. Now, here's another mentality, an open mentality. An open mentality says, I think there's something beyond the walls. Now, I may not be able to fully understand what that is, and there are lots of ways that we can interpret what's happening outside of the walls, but I'm just opened to the idea that there's something beyond our physical reality. It's going to say that the world is made up of physical realities, everything on that left list, physics, chemistry, biology, all of that,
but it's also made up of spiritual realities. Now, just take note for just a second. I called it closed and open because one is like a closed understanding of the world and one is an open understanding. But also, which of these two mentalities is actually more open-minded? Which one is closed-minded and says things can only be understood the way that I understand them? And which one is actually more open to interpretation and has more humility in it? It is a false claim to say that a religious argument is closed-minded and a scientific argument is open-minded. It's actually exactly the opposite way around. An open-minded understanding of the world says, yes, I believe in physics, in chemistry, in biology. I believe in all of those things. And I believe there's a reality that goes even beyond that that we can't fully understand. Here are some examples. There are obviously lots of them. One is Judaism, and one is Christianity. Look at the first line of the Jewish scripture. What does it say? In the beginning, God created two things. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. From the very beginning, the Jewish scripture set up a worldview where there are both of these realities. There's the earthly physical reality that we can study in the hard sciences, and there's the heavenly spiritual reality that we can get a sense of but that we can't fully understand. There's something beyond the walls. And over again throughout the Jewish scriptures and throughout just Jewish experience in general, there's a recognition that what is happening in the world is important. But there are also forces outside of our physical world that are impacting our reality here. There's a physical world and a spiritual world. And look at Christianity. I mean, Christianity is unique in our understanding of this worldview. What it says is there's the world that we can experience. Of course, building upon Judaism, which we are rooted in, there is the world that we can experience, and there is the spiritual world around it, and these two things interact and they interlock, and we don't fully understand how all of that works, but there are both of these realities, there's the heavens and the earth, and that what God has done is looked into the physical reality from the spiritual existence and said, there are some problems in there. There's some algae on the walls, and there are some fish that are hurting other fish, and things are not going real well in there. And I don't think they can fix it themselves. I've given them all the rules. I've told them how to, but they don't seem to be able to do it. So I'm going to empty myself and step from this spiritual reality into the physical reality to fix this myself. The fancy theological word is the incarnation. It's what we believe happens in Jesus. That God, who lives in this space, chooses to step into our reality, one, then able to fully experience what it's like to be human. Many of us went through some pain this past week. Some of us because of the loss of a child and our teenager in our community. Some of us because of other reasons. But we can take comfort in the fact that according to our theology, God steps into this world and he understands that pain. But even further than that, he steps into this world to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, and that is to fix this whole thing. That's the Christian worldview. There's a physical world and there is a spiritual world, and through Jesus, God breaks into the physical world to fix it for us. And notice this. When we're looking at how do we deal with our problems, I mean, whatever problem you brought in, notice this about these two worldviews. This is what a closed view of the world says about the cause and the cure for our problems. A closed worldview says, I think you have to skip ahead one slide, Paul. What it says is that the cause and the cure for our problems are found exclusively within this world. How'd the algae get there? How is it that the tank has gotten a little bit messed up? Well, it has to be caused by other things that are inside of the tank. And if all of our problems are caused inside of the tank, then, well, where does the solution have to come from? From within inside of the tank. But what an open worldview says is that the cause of and the cure for our problems are found ultimately beyond this world. Here's what Jesus says. The disciples want to know, how is it that you were able to cast that demon out and we weren't? This is what Jesus says. This is that conversation. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? This is what Jesus says. He said to them, this kind can come out only through prayer. We could deal with the surface level, but look underneath this. Jesus is reminding his disciples, and he's reminding us even 2,000 years later, of the reality of the world in which we live. He says, look, this father did so much to try to heal his son. But ultimately, there are some problems in the world that can only be healed through prayer. A Christian worldview says, look, here's the thing. Whatever problem you've brought in here, you need to do everything that you can to work within this world to solve it. There are things that you can do. In fact, there are things that you need to do. But at the end of the day, there are certain problems that we have and certain aspects of the problems that we have that can only be solved, that can only come out through prayer. Let's get super practical. Some of you, the problems that you brought in are relationship problems, right? I'm not a prophet. I'm just guessing, right? Some of you brought in here relationship problems. With your relationship problem, what the Christian worldview says is that there are certain things that you have full control over, things that are just inside of the fishbowl, that you have a lot of responsibility to take care of. It means if you've got a relationship problem, you need to get into counseling. You need to write the letter to apologize. You need to start going on a date night and spending more time together. There are things that you have control over that you have got to do something about. But what the Christian worldview also says is there are also elements of your relationship that are being influenced not just by what's happening here, but there are elements outside in the spiritual world that are influencing your relationship. And it may be that you cannot actually find healing except for by the intervention of God. So how do you approach your relationship problem? You do everything that you can within this world to solve it. And you pray fervently that God will intercede and bless your marriage. Some of you brought in work problems, and it's the same thing. Maybe your business is exploding and you don't know what to do with that. Maybe your business is falling apart and you don't know what to do with that. Maybe you don't know what to do in the future. You're walking in here this morning, you don't know exactly what to do on the professional front. Here's the thing, you make the to-do list. You meet with your mentor. You make the pro and you make the con list and you do everything that you can to solve this problem through the means that you have access to, and you pray like crazy that God will intercede and will work in your business and work in your life to bless that. Whatever your problem is that you walked in here, can you just be thinking about that? I am 100% of the worldview that the world is opened in the sense there's a physical reality and there's a spiritual reality. But if you want me to be really, really honest with you, while I am theoretically a Christian, there are many times that I am functionally, at best, an agnostic. This week, friends, this week, I'm sitting down in a chair and I'm simultaneously doing two things. I am working on this message that I'm preaching right now, and I am worrying like crazy about something in my personal life. And it doesn't even occur to me for about 45 minutes that maybe I should stop and pray about what's going on in my personal life. And I spend 10 to 15 minutes just in deep, fervent prayer around that, and I feel the anxiety drop, and then I'm able to focus on this sermon again. Look, I know all of the right answers, but yet functionally, I go throughout my day frequently doing everything that I can to fix my problems and not recognizing that maybe this is something that can only come out through prayer. So for you, are you going after whatever that problem is on both fronts? I mean, are you doing everything that you can? And are you praying like crazy, believing that we have a God who intercedes in this world? Now, if you want to get practical and you're not sure exactly how to do this, I just want to suggest a quick spiritual discipline to you that can help you with this. This has been a blessing to me. I think that it can be a blessing to you. There are times when I want to pray and I'm not sure exactly what to pray. So somebody introduced me years ago to the concept of praying the scripture. I just want to show you how this works real quick. I'm going to pray for us and we're going to get out of here. So next time you need strength, I'm going to suggest to you Colossians 1, 11 through 12. This is what Colossians 1, 11 through 12 says. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Well, let's say that you wake up tomorrow morning and you need an extra measure of strength. You just feel like I'm going to work hard and I'm going to do everything that I can to have physical and emotional strength, but I need strength that comes from beyond me. Will you pray this? How do you pray this? Well, you just change the pronouns. You pray, may I be made strong with all the strength that comes from your glorious power. And may I be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to you, my Father. Let's say you know somebody that needs hope. You've got somebody in your life, or you've got somebody that you just read about on the news, and you know that they need hope in their lives. I want to submit to you Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's say that you want to pray that for your friend Aaron. What do you do? Well, this is all you should do. May you, the God of hope, fill Aaron with all joy and peace in believing, so that he may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's say that you just have a sense that we need to be a more faithful nation. Well, this is what Ephesians 3 says. I pray that you have the power to comprehend the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you imagine, friends, if every day just those of us in this room prayed this prayer for our nation? I pray that our nation may have the power to comprehend the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Friends, here's what I worry about. I worry about this in my life. I worry about this in the lives of my friends. I worry about this in the lives of all of us. I worry that we're leaving a lot on the table by not praying more fervently. I worry that conceptually we believe that there is a world beyond the walls of the fish tank, but that functionally, oftentimes, we operate as if this is all that there is and it's up to us to solve it. The reality is that the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel that Jesus came to bring, is that Jesus stepped into the world because he knows that we can't solve the problems ourselves. And he came to walk side by side with us. As we labor to work on the big problems of the world, and as we labor to work on the problems in our own individual lives. So what's your problem? What is it that you brought in this morning? And this week, let's just do two things. Figure out practically within this world what you're going to do to address it. But then, double down on praying that God might intercede in your life to bring you the healing that you can't seem to find on your own, to reconcile the relationship that you can't seem to fix, trusting that we have a God who intimately cares about us and wants to work in our lives. But there are some things, friends, that only happen through prayer. So let me pray for us. God, I want you to continue to bring this scripture more and more alive for us. Lord, help us to know what it is that we can do and help us to work hard after those things. But help us also to recognize that there are things that we can't do that only you can. So God, won't you just come and do those things that only you can do? And won't you give us the faith to be able to pray fervently, trusting in you? God, we love you. And we thank you for the unbelievable love that you have for us. As we go forth, God, we pray, is that you'll send us forth in joy and peace and faith and strength. Things that truly can only come from you. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.